you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're concluding our study of 2 Corinthians this morning. You remember the Apostle Paul described back in chapter 12 the fact that because of the extraordinary revelations which God had shown him, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that harassed him, and he pleaded with the Lord three times to remove it. And God said, instead of removing it, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Well, now in chapter 13, this is our reading this morning. This is God's word. "This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is writing a letter, sending it ahead, inspired by the Holy Spirit, telling these folks to get ready for when he shows up. We said last time that it's not unlike a parent who says, "Don't make me come up there." It's not because the parent's lazy, it's because they know that if they don't get obedience when they're not right there, they're going to have to go and enforce obedience by showing up, and that will not be fun for anybody, including for the parent. No decent parent enjoys that kind of thing. But it's something we have to do if we love our child. And Paul loves the church in Corinth. He loves these people. And therefore, he knows how important it is that they do the right thing and not the wrong thing. And a bunch of them have been doing the wrong thing. And so Paul is saying, get your act together before I get there. Do what you know is right. Satan's a judo expert. He will try and throw you off balance in this direction or in that direction. And one of the things we have to look at and hold in balance is this whole thing of aiming for perfection. Paul says, now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not do anything wrong. And then he says to them, aim for perfection.
I think that's very emotionally unhealthy. I think that, you know, if people are always trying to be perfectionistic, then they're going to just live a miserable life because they're, you know.
Well, if you have OCD, like me, and hyper-scrupulosity, like some, you could get way off balance in this direction. You could be in danger of just basically feeling like you can't do anything because you might mess up. And then realizing, oh my gosh, if I don't do anything, I am messing up. Oh! That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking to a group of people who had been very lax about what God says, who had not been doing what God says, and he's telling them, straighten up. Stop doing those things. Start doing what's right. You know what's right. Do it. Aim for perfection. You've got to know what you're aiming for or you're not even going to come close. Aim for perfection. Now, don't fall apart if you find that, oh my word, within the last month, I have on occasion sinned. If you don't think you've sinned in the last month, it's because you don't have a biblical standard of sin and righteousness. 1 John chapter 1, we read, if we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves. So the next verse, fortunately, in John 1 is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're going to go back to 1 John in a moment after we've looked at 2 Corinthians 13 a little more. But I want you to see that what is being talked about here is what you're supposed to be aiming for. Paul says, this will be my third visit to you. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you're demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He says, some of you feel like you don't have anything to be concerned about because I don't have any great power. You may remember, if you know your Bibles, in the book of Acts, when there was a guy who was resisting the gospel and trying to mess up others and keep them from believing, and Paul turned to him and cursed him with blindness. I mean, on the spot. And instantly, this guy who previously was regarded by others as having tremendous spiritual power, suddenly he was totally blind and couldn't see anything and had to be led around by the hand. Paul had apostolic authority to discipline, to smite, to turn one over to Satan, and that kind of authority still resides in an obedient church. When God's people walk in obedience, God still exercises discipline through them. But your focus is not on a bunch of rules, it's on obedience to God. And God will never contradict his word. So you need to know his word so that as he leads and directs you, you can recognize, this is God. I recognize his voice. I see that. That's consistent with what God says and does. So Paul is telling these folks, get ready because I'm coming. And when I come, anybody who hasn't really repented, I'm going to deal with, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met. But most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org. Click on the Legacy 145 button. That's wvr.org. And click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you, and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 5. And he's holding out. Examine each other. Is that what he says? Maybe I need to put my glasses on. Oh, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. A lot of us think that America needs to repent. Well, that'd be good. But I'll tell you something. We better be looking at how are we doing? How are you doing in your walk with God? Are you walking in obedience with him? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. If you are a Christian, you're not just human. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says in his previous letter, he says, shame on you. You're acting as if you were merely human. If you're a Christian, you're not just human. Well, after all, I'm only human. Well, then you need to get saved. If you are a Christian, God himself lives in you. That is amazing. The God who created the universe, the God who knows all things, the God who has all power, that God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now living in those who are his. And that's why what you do with your body is of eternal significance. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to him. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You can't just do whatever feels good to you. You have to live in obedience to God. That's what you're called to. You have a new life now. You're no longer like the pagans. So, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. This is not an isolated message. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, make your calling and election sure. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this and didn't we do this? And he says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus didn't say, there will be a few people who thought that they were mine and they weren't. Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. It's not just those who call him Lord who are saved. It's those for whom he is Lord. The folks in Matthew 7 were trusting in what they had done. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? If you are trusting in what you've done for your salvation, you need to get saved because Jesus is the only hope. But if you are trusting in Jesus for your salvation, guess who you want running your life? If you believe that you were hopelessly lost and he came to save you, then obviously you don't say, okay, thanks, got it, I'll take it from here. No. You want him to direct you. You want him to live his life through you. You want him to be in control. I don't want to try and talk God into what I want. I want God to do what he wants with my life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Philippians 2. Verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. What is he saying? When he says work out your salvation, he's not talking about negotiating a deal with God. He's talking about manifesting the salvation of God, which is Christ in you. God comes to live within you, and you need to be working that out, manifesting that, showing forth God's power for his glory as you do what he says. In 1 John 3, verses 11 through 24, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. What was the test there? We know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth. Here's another test, the love that we have for others. And it's how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Did you hear that? This is how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. Because sometimes the enemy will try and come with condemnation, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe or to trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he lives in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The whole epistle of 1 John is giving folks a way of knowing that they've passed from death to life. But it's a whole series of vital signs. If you are really saved, this is true of your life. If this is true of your life, you did not have assurance of salvation. If you're really saved, this is true of your life. If that's not true of your life, you should not be going around thinking that you're saved. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and at the conclusion of his letter, he says, you need to examine yourselves. Don't just assume that because you raised your hand, prayed a prayer, signed a card, walked an aisle, got dunked in water, don't assume on the basis of that that you're saved. You need to examine yourselves. Now, we pray to God, Paul says in verse 7, that you will not do anything wrong. Not so that people will see something good about us. We're glad whenever we're weak, but you're strong. And our prayer is for what? Your perfection. What are we aiming at? Are you aiming for perfection? Well, no, that's ridiculous. I know I'm never going to be perfect, so I just, you know. Okay, I'll grant you that. You're never going to be perfect until you stand face to face with Jesus. But meanwhile, what are you aiming for? God calls us to be his ambassadors in this world. That means we need to represent him well. We need to care about the things he cares about. We need to do what God is doing. Paul says, and God says through him, our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I'm absent, so that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. I was given this authority by the Lord in order to build you up, not to tear you down. I don't want to punish you. I want to build you up. But he says, but I will deal with anybody who hasn't repented when I get there. Finally, my brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Paul's appealing to them to get along with each other. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. You don't have to do this on your own. God will empower you to love one another and get along with each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Really? We don't do that. The reason, of course, is COVID. No, even before COVID, we don't do that. It's not part of our culture. Well, do you know what? There's something wrong with our culture. We need to prayerfully learn how to express appropriately physical affection toward one another in the body of Christ. And I have not arrived, but you wouldn't believe how much progress I've made. And when I've traveled overseas, I just had to accept the fact that people who had not been introduced to soap or deodorant wanted to give me hugs and kisses. I was not entirely comfortable with this, but I knew that they were right and I was wrong. Understand? Paul is writing and he's saying, love on each other. Show your love. Don't just say it. And don't just do it with hugs and kisses. Do it in the way that you really care for each other's needs. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That is my prayer for you as well.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.